Welcome to Shared State. I'm Mara Silvers. In this season, we've been digging into stories about political conflicts and how people are working through them. Today, I'm here with Justin Franz. He's a freelance journalist based in the Flathead Valley. Justin, what are we hearing here?
This is an old promotional film made back in the 1970s for Whitefish's Ski Hill.
It's a long way from San Francisco up to Whitefish, Montana, especially astride a motorcycle. But for a fella as serious about skiing as Gene is, it's worth the trouble.
It's about a guy named Gene who rides his motorcycle from his home in San Francisco to Whitefish in search of a seasonal job so he can be closer to the great outdoors, good skiing, and a good time.
Now, he was one of those first skiers flying down the mountain over long reaches of trackless powder.
Honestly, it sounds like Gene is having the best life.
It's a good one. It's a good one.
Now he was really living.
I think this movie shows sort of the mythology of the place, a mythology that's been around for decades, that anyone can come up here and scratch out a life for themselves, either for a single season or for a lifetime. For a long time, that mythology felt real. It felt true. But that's starting to change.
So you've lived in the Valley for about a decade now. What do you mean it's changing?
I think it's harder and harder for everyone to find a spot to live in Whitefish. It's just getting more expensive. It's getting harder for people to achieve that dream that Gene was going after back in 1971 in this promotional film.
This time on Shared State, the story of how people in the Flathead Valley are dealing with one pressing issue. Who gets to call this place home? Justin, where do you want to start this story?
For me, the story starts with a guy named Uriah Rosen's wife.
Hey, man. How's it going?
Good, man.
Good.
And his dog.
Magic.
Hey, Magic. How you doing?
Uriah's originally from California. He's been hopping around the country for the last few years. That was until he came up to the Flathead Valley back in 2019. He was working near Glacier National Park for the year for a glamping company.
Glamping? Is that what you said? What is glamping? Like fancy camping?
You're not roughing it if you're glamping. Friends convinced him to stay for the winter, and so he did, even though he doesn't really do winter.
I didn't do cold, I didn't do snow, didn't ski, didn't snowboard, so I was like, okay, I'll give it a month, and then I'm going back to California, man, and I've been here full-time ever since.
I feel like that's a story you hear from a lot of people in the Flathead Valley. They come here on vacation, they fall in love with the place, and then they just stick around.
I'm the guy who literally all my life has moved around every 2 years since I was a baby. That's all I've known. And this is going into my third year here full time. And it's okay. You know, it's cool. It's the community and the people.
So where does he work now?
Uriah works at the Montana Tap House. It's a bar and pizza place. It's connected to a ski shop. It's about halfway between downtown Whitefish and the ski hill. You know, whenever I've seen Uriah at the bar, it seems like he knows everyone who comes through the door. It's been super easy for Uriah to find friends and build a community for himself. But finding a place he could afford to rent, that has been considerably harder.
Over the course of a year and a half, it's gone from $400 a month for a room to $900.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's gone up a lot. For 6 weeks in the summer of 2021, Uriah and his dog had to live in a van behind the bar where he worked. They just didn't have a choice.
It was rainy and cold some days, you know? Just the struggle is real out there. Not like I was living in a box, but being in the van wasn't the most comfortable situation for me and the pup.
I mean, this situation that Uriah found himself in, from what you know about Whitefish, is that particularly unique? Is he kind of an outlier?
I mean, it might be an extreme situation to have been living in a van, but I don't think it's unique. Finding a place to rent has been hard for a lot of people. The size of Whitefish has doubled since 1990, but the number of places to live and rent, they just haven't kept up with the number of people there. About 5 years ago, the city and some other local groups commissioned a study to figure out just how many housing units were actually needed to house the community's workforce for people like Uriah. The results, the city needed nearly 1,000 new units before the year of 2020. About two-thirds of those would need to be priced below market rate so that community members could actually afford to live in them.
Okay, so 1,000 more units before 2020. We're now in 2022. Has Whitefish actually come close to addressing that need or building any of those housing units?
They've tried, but no. Not long after that assessment, they put together a strategic plan. They formed a committee to try and work with the local housing authority to get all that work done. But they haven't had a lot of success. That plan, it called for something called inclusionary zoning.
What is that?
So it basically requires that a certain percentage of any new housing development be reserved for people with low to moderate incomes. And if the developer doesn't do that, they have to pay a fee. Bozeman's tried something similar, but that tool was sort of taken out of the toolbox last year during the legislative session when Governor Greg Gianforte signed a law prohibiting exactly that.
And how did Whitefish respond to that?
Not well. City leaders were pretty frustrated. And since then, Whitefish has thought about turning that old strategy on its head. Instead of punishing developers with fines and fees, they're considering giving them incentives to reserve a certain part of their housing development for low to medium income people, usually through something called deed restrictions. And that means the owner can only make a certain amount of profit when they sell it. One developer has gone above and beyond what the city wanted. A development called Trailview is offering homes exclusively to local workers that cost about half what a place here in Whitefish normally does. But even when fully developed, Trailview is only expected to have 58 homes.
That does not sound like a lot. Didn't they need a couple hundred affordable units back in 2017?
Yeah, they needed about 600 affordable units back in 2017. Not to mention that this development is aimed at folks looking to buy their first home, not seasonal workers who are just looking for a place to rent. And remember, those 600 affordable units, that was what was needed back in 2017, before anyone had heard of COVID-19, which sort of sparked a migration to places like Whitefish.
So in some ways, I can see why this is happening in Whitefish, right? It's a beautiful part of Montana where everyone wants to live. But this is happening elsewhere across the state and country, too.
Yeah, it's a story that's sort of been unfolding for the last couple decades. There's all these towns across Montana and across the American West, these cool little picturesque little resort communities that get overwhelmed by their own popularity. Suddenly, the characters that make these places special, and more importantly, the people who make these places work, they can't afford to live there.
All right, Justin, let's do this. I gotta go skiing.
I want to introduce you to a guy named Ed Doctor. He's Uriah's boss, and that housing crunch that's happening here in Whitefish, Ed's seen this movie before. Ed's this big bearded guy. He's got a big personality. You know when he walks into a room. He's originally from the Midwest, but he headed west about 30 years ago in search of good skiing and a good time. Bounced around the West, ended up in Colorado for a while.
I moved here in the fall of 99 and opened the ski shop winter of 99 in December.
He's basically a successful ski bum. So yeah, back in the late 1990s, he lived in a ski town called Winter Park. It's a few hours west of Denver. Back then, there were a lot of cool locally owned bars and businesses, sort of like Whitefish. It felt really unique. Then this huge resort company swooped in and they just started buying up real estate.
You know, after I left, I come back 5 years later and I asked my buddy that was still there, I go, man, where do all these ski shops go and these restaurants?
Ed says the character of the town changed entirely.
Okay, so Ed has seen this play out in a totally different town, in a totally different state. Does he have this kind of feeling, like a premonition that this is what's going to happen in Whitefish?
Yeah, he does.
You know, resort companies, they pay very close attention to towns like Whitefish. They see we have a very successful town, very successful businesses.
And he's not alone in that feeling. Ed and a lot of other people fear that the same forces are at work here in Whitefish. As someone who's lived in the Flathead Valley for a long time, I can tell you that the rumor that some big ski corporation is going to swoop in and buy the ski hill, it comes around every winter. But Ed says the housing shortage that we're seeing right now and the cost of living increase, he thinks all of these things are finally lining up so that rumor will become a reality.
So larger resort companies come in, build housing or buy housing, and then end up buying all the businesses. And you're going to see that pretty much in every ski town you go to. They don't look like they're corporately owned, but they definitely are corporately owned.
I hear that Ed might not like the idea that something's corporately owned, but why does that actually matter to him?
Well, for one, people like Ed worry that that's going to kill the town's character, that it's going to become any ski town USA. But secondly, he's worried that Whitefish could get even more expensive than it already is, and busier. Again, that's all going to make it a lot harder to live here. There's a concern that pretty soon, firefighters, teachers, nurses, the people you need for a community, they won't be able to afford to live here either. And in some instances, that's already happening. A lot of the people I know have already moved to nearby towns like Kalispell and Columbia Falls because it's cheaper.
After the break, how COVID-19 made an already strained housing situation way, way worse, and what locals like Ed are trying to do about it.
Early birds stay informed when they catch the worm. Yellowstone Public Radio's podcast rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio, so you can start your day with the latest news from across the state. Available every weekday morning before 7 a.m. at ypradio.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Shared State. I'm Mara Silvers. Tiny ski towns across the West have been grappling with how to hold on to their unique character as they gain attention, and people flock there. And today, we have reporter Justin Franz. Justin, you've been living in and covering growth in one of these ski towns, Whitefish. When did that town start to actually feel like it was changing?
The issue of affordable housing in Whitefish, that's an issue that's been brewing for well over a decade, at least as long as I've been here. And a lot of steps have been taken to try and address it. There's the establishment of the Trailview development, the planning committee, and the creation of an inclusionary zoning program that was later nixed by the state. But those are things that happened before 2020. Then came something that changed everything.
And Governor Steve Bullock announced two new cases of coronavirus tonight, bringing the state.
The pandemic changed two fundamental things. First, everyone wanted to get outside.
Montana's state parks saw many more visitors this year.
And second,
that remote work is absolutely on the rise. And these are not
people started to be able to work from wherever they wanted. And people wanted to work in Whitefish. People discovering Montana is something we've seen a lot over the past 2 years. Places like Missoula and Bozeman and the Flathead Valley are super attractive right now to people who want to live in a beautiful place and bring their old jobs with them. As a result, the real estate market here has just exploded, especially in places like Whitefish.
As somebody who grew up in Montana, I feel like there have been stories about these popularity surges for decades and decades, but 2020, without a doubt, was honestly like nothing I'd ever seen.
The summer of 2020 was busier than people anticipated, and 2021 was even crazier. And it didn't help when Good Morning America came to town promoting tourism.
Nearby is the Gateway to Glacier, the small resort town of Whitefish. From the top of its big mountain to the lake below.
Oh, no.
Not long after that segment aired, like less than an hour, the Whitefish Convention and Visitors Bureau put out a press release. They said they were not looking for that kind of publicity, and when they heard about film crews in town, they quickly reached out to try and reshape the piece, to tell people how they could travel and recreate responsibly. And specifically to be a friend of the fish, as they like to say and sing.
A friend of the fish. If you wanna do the things that we all miss.
That does not sound like the type of press communication that you'd normally hear from a group that's trying to promote tourism.
They're supposed to be trying to attract visitors, right? But it was just becoming too much. Even the shoulder season is getting busier than ever because, remember, it's not just tourists who are coming, it's new residents. Home prices have skyrocketed here. Over the last couple of years, median home prices went up from about $350,000 to over $500,000 in Flathead County. And it's even worse in Whitefish itself.
Okay, so home prices are just going through the roof. What's happening with the rental market?
In some instances, homeowners who have been renting a home to someone, they've decided to cash out and put their places on the market, leaving more and more people looking for rentals and in a market with fewer options. And that's not the only thing putting stress on the rental market here. The number of short-term rentals on Airbnb and VRBO has also increased dramatically.
And it really is a threat to our town, the proliferation of short-term rentals.
Dylan Boyle is the executive director of the Whitefish Convention and Visitors Bureau. He's a numbers guy.
So for perspective, in 2014, we had 31 active short-term rental listings in the 59937 zip code. So that's the whole Whitefish zip code. Now we have more than 1,000.
That's just a gigantic jump. I mean, 31 to 1,000 short-term rentals for people who are just visiting?
Yeah. Dylan says the jump in short-term rentals has had a huge ripple effect on the community, too. It's not just taking away homes from locals that they could live in. It means more and more tourists can stay here as well.
You know, short-term rentals are also causing a lack of resident housing to some degree, which contributes to workforce shortage because some of them have eliminated leases for local residents who want to live and work here year-round.
And that puts pressure on everything. Local services, local infrastructure, local business, you name it.
Okay, so in a nutshell, it sounds like people flocked to Whitefish and the cost of just about everything went up.
Pretty much. Unless you already owned a home in Whitefish, good luck finding one now. It's literally why my wife and I moved to Columbia Falls a year ago. We could have purchased a rundown shack in Whitefish, but not much more. And it's even worse for renters. People like Uriah, the bartender at Montana Tap House, who moved into his van last summer.
It makes it unavailable for the service industry folks like myself and my coworkers to be able to live in Whitefish. It's just the cost of housing has gone up. I've seen a lot of friends leave their service industry jobs because they just can't afford it. It doesn't make sense here anymore.
Like I said earlier, anyone who spent time in Whitefish the last couple summers, they'll tell you it was busy, very busy. Ed Doctor at Montana Tap House, he said it was almost too busy.
It was up, I would say, 40% across the board, May through September. Mind-numbing, you know? It's crazy. My parents, kind of old, and they were here every day helping. My dad is 82 years old, bussing tables. I would have never expected this town to be this busy. You know, not now. You know, maybe in 20 years from now.
If Ed had to have his 82-year-old dad helping him bus tables, it sounds like he doesn't have enough workers to keep up with this business. How is he attracting employees?
Ed says his employees do make pretty good money. They make anywhere from 12 to 18 an hour. And with tips, that can go up to 20 or 30 an hour. And during really good months, like during the height of the summer, he even shares some of the profits. But even that wasn't enough to get all the help he needed in the summer of 2021. And Ed places the blame squarely on the lack of housing.
Do you know of other places where this is happening in town?
It was the same down the street at the Buffalo Cafe, known to locals simply as the Buff. It's a beloved local diner that's been in Whitefish since the 1980s.
Do you want a beverage or anything? Coffee, soda, water?
I spoke with the owner, Alex Metzold.
But I do all the boots on the ground, front of the house, management, day like today.
Alex's parents opened the cafe.
Correct, yep. So we're second-generation ownership, so we're...
In some ways, their story is a lot like the mythology that Whitefish is built on. Alex's dad was traveling around the West, ended up in the Flathead Valley, fell in love with the place, and just stayed.
And he took it over and turned it into the Buffalo Cafe. And so, yeah, we're in the 40-year range for our business and trying to get another 40 out of it.
Traditionally, summer doesn't start in the Flathead Valley until one of two things happens. The 4th of July, or the Going to the Sun Road opens in Glacier National Park. But in 2021, Alex noticed that his restaurant was busier than ever, and it was busier earlier than normal, in June and even May. And that hectic pace continued right into fall.
So that was different, you know, the longevity of it, where usually you're kind of getting yourself ready for a, you know, a three-month race, and now it really was more like 4 to 5 months.
How did that affect Alex's business and the traffic at his cafe?
I mean, business was good, but Alex said a lot of locals and a lot of regulars just gave up going out to eat altogether because they could never get a table. Like many places around Whitefish and around the country, Alex also had trouble finding staff to work at the Buff. He put the blame squarely on one culprit. Again, the lack of housing.
Our help wanted signs, gosh, they hung up on our building way longer than they ever used to. You know, instead of a week or two, some, at least some candidates, we wouldn't even have people come in. You know, 3 weeks would go by and not one person would come in for a well-paying chef's job with good hours. You know, we do a lot.
Okay, so this is happening for Alex and then for Ed. What about all the other local businesses in town? How are they doing with staffing?
Those help wanted signs, they were up all over town. And it wasn't just bars and restaurants. I also talked to the owner of Nelson's Ace Hardware. It's a family-owned hardware store along U.S. Highway 93.
Now what we're finding is that we're not getting people back in the door who want to come to work. Partially that is because Whitefish is hard to live in.
This is Mariah Joes. For the record, when I first moved to Whitefish a decade ago, I lived above Mariah's garage for a few years. Mariah was born and raised in Whitefish, and she says it's really hard to see what's happening here.
We have traditionally had a community that is stratified, that has all of the levels. And we are losing massive chunks of a part of that community because they can't afford to live here.
She's worried that her seventh-generation son won't be able to afford to live here himself.
If nothing's done about this, where do you see Whitefish in the next 10 years?
Vail. Sun Valley, Jackson Hole, where there is no local community anymore. That anything exists is only for those who parachute in from outside. As a local, it makes me really sad. It doesn't serve any of us, regardless of where you come from, to have a community that only serves a really high income population. It doesn't serve any of us who are interested in having a community long term. It doesn't allow for an influx of diversity, of thought, of income, of any sort. It becomes insular. It becomes only about the money that people can spend. And that's not a community.
Okay, so this whole situation sounds pretty dire. And from what you were saying earlier, the supply of affordable housing just isn't there. What are some of the solutions that are being talked about in the community, if any?
I want to take us back to Ed Doctor, that ski bum turned business owner at the local bar.
Well, so what's up?
During the pandemic, all of the forces that Ed was worried about changing Whitefish forever had been turned up to 11. The change he feared coming in the future suddenly seemed immediate. It was now. And he had a decision to make.
What was that?
With the real estate market in the Flathead Valley burning red hot, he briefly thought about selling the restaurant and making a pretty good return for his investment. If he sold the bar, he wouldn't have to worry about staffing the restaurant or making gallons and gallons and gallons of chili on a Friday night, which is what he was doing recently when I talked to him. Or he could keep the restaurant going and try and do something about his workforce shortage.
So his dilemma is basically whether to see this problem as unavoidable and just do something that's financially beneficial to him, or to try to challenge that problem and maybe keep his business going.
Exactly. Ed started talking to friends, and he started thinking about those 1,000 or so homes that are being used as short-term rentals listed on websites like Airbnb and VRBO. He wondered, what if you could take some of those homes, and instead of filling them with more tourists, you filled them with local workers? Ed actually owns an Airbnb himself. So for starters, he took that short-term rental off the market and just rented it at a cheaper rate to some of his employees.
To me, I would rather have these people that are part of our community now stay a part of our community. I wouldn't want to make my bartender drive home at 1 or 2 in the morning all the way to Eureka in the winter, and that just doesn't seem right.
Then he started talking to more people, his friends and coworkers, about this idea of getting workers into vacation rentals at affordable rates. He wanted to expand what he was doing beyond his own efforts to house more workers, so he got to work.
And I've had people come to me since and offer me homes to rent so I can have them for my employees. And it really dawned on me that, okay, we need to do something this on a bigger scale, you know?
This makes me think back to that employee, Uriah, the guy who moved into his van. Did he ever get out of his van?
Yeah, he started actually renting from Ed.
I was paying $500 a month to live in Kalispell, and now I'm back here, what would be $900 a month. I pay $7. Ed subsidizes the other two. There's no way I could live in Whitefish right now off what I make for $900 a month. Absolutely not, sir.
Before long, Ed filled up all of the properties he could on his own by renting from others and having his employees live there at a subsidized rate. He was able to make this happen for half dozen people and about 4 properties. By paying the full price out of pocket, he was taking a loss, but he was able to keep his workers on board and living in Whitefish. Then Ed started to think, what if more businesses did this? What if they scaled it up? What if they formed a co-op of sorts that could take houses off the short-term rental market and get those keys into the hands of local workers? That's how the Whitefish Workforce Housing Project was born.
We have a campaign out there where we reach out to property agency management companies and businesses that are involved with a little poster by their register just asking second home owners and vacation home owners in Whitefish if they consider renting to local businesses instead of tourists for 6 months or 12 months.
So Ed's trying to scale this thing up, one rental at a time. In practice, does this mean that people who own a second or third home in Whitefish are just turning around to rent to ski bums and bartenders?
Exactly. And Ed says the next step is to make that program even bigger and to make it sustainable across Whitefish. To do that, he'd need to get the city or nonprofit to help subsidize that rent.
We're not asking for a discount. We're just asking for your homes. We need them bad. And if we can establish a fund to subsidize this rent, it would allow every employer to file for certain money.
I mean, I really want to be all like, rah, rah, like, go Ed, this sounds like a great idea. But is this really altruistic of him, or is it also a business decision? Like, this money, at least for right now, it's coming out of Ed's own pocket. So is this coming from a real desire to save these workers, or is it just him reasoning that it's cheaper to subsidize their rent than lose all of his workers?
I would say it's both. Ed said he really does want to help these employees, but it's also a good business decision for him. After all, if he doesn't have any workers, he can't keep his business open.
I'm guessing other business owners are probably thinking along the same lines.
Yeah. Filling vacation rentals with local workers isn't a new idea, actually. In fact, a similar effort was launched in Big Sky back in 2017.
Platforms like Airbnb make it so easy for property owners to make money off their investment. So she set out to create a similar program, but for local renters.
Ed's learning from ideas like that, and he thinks he can launch the same thing right here in Whitefish. And for the last few months, he's been telling anyone who will listen to him about this idea. When I last talked to Ed, he said the workforce housing project had basically become his full-time job, and he's starting to get more support for it.
This call is now being recorded.
So yeah, have this morning's meeting.
I called him in late December after he'd had a meeting with city officials and the local housing authority. He said they told him they wanted to help out and see what they could do and if they could find some money to help subsidize this.
You know, we're up against time here, and we know anything done with the housing authority is going to take time, with the city is going to take time. So we're trying to figure out how the heck to get this program up and running by March.
He also said he was starting to talk to local businesses about other creative ideas, like maybe raising money from customers by having them round up their bill or adding a few bucks to their tab. All that money would go towards local housing. Ed hopes that he could start something like this as early as the winter of 2022. I talked to city officials shortly after that call with Ed, and they said they do want to work with him, and quickly. They know that this is a big problem, and they're willing to talk to anyone.
I mean, it sounds like Ed and his supporters are super passionate, but do you think that they can actually do it? Like, can they solve Whitefish's affordable housing crisis?
That's hard to say. That 2017 housing study said Whitefish needed more than 1,000 new housing units before 2020, most of them affordable. But that was before the pandemic. The city is expecting to come out with another housing needs assessment in 2022, and no one knows exactly what that's going to say. But most people assume the need will be even greater than before. Local officials say that housing assessment will help guide what comes next. But Ed Doctor, he's not waiting around.
I believe if we don't get ourselves 1,000 units within the next couple years, we'll be hurting. And I think we're not too late right now. I really hope to God that there's enough people listening and want to be involved to house our characters, basically. You know, if we don't house our characters, we lose our character. That's the truth.
Ed has a steep road ahead of him, and he's not alone. Other groups like the Whitefish Housing Authority and the Whitefish Housing Plan and Steering Committee, they're working on trying to solve this too. And just recently, the city council passed an ordinance to put more zoning restrictions on medium-term rentals. However, those restrictions won't go into effect for a year. But Ed thinks something needs to happen now to hold on to that mythology that Whitefish was built on, the idea that anyone can come up here and scratch out a life for themselves, for a season or for a lifetime.
Shared State is a production from Montana Free Press, Montana Public Radio, and Yellowstone Public Radio. This episode was reported by Justin Franz. You can find more of his work at Montana Free Press. It was edited by Nick Mott, produced by Nikki Ouellette, and hosted by me, Mara Silvers. We had editorial assistance from Corin Cates-Carney, Brad Tyer, and Nadia Foe. Fact-checking by Jess Sheldahl. Our sound designer is Gabe Sweeney. And a special thanks to Ross Bridgman.